100 years ago, the greatest and most lethal natural disaster of the 20th century came from the United States, alighting at Commonwealth Pier in Boston. By the time it had run its course, the influenza pandemic of 1918, the Spanish flu, killed more than 3% of the human species. It had infected about 500 million people worldwide, killing at least 50 million. In the US, more than a quarter of the population contracted it, and over 500,000 people died, mostly in the span of 10 weeks. In 1918, the US, as was most of the world, was at war. We had taken all our strapping young lads, handed them guns, and bunked them in overcrowded camps, and then shuffled them around the world. Not just us, of course. The militaries engaged in the European theater of war, densely settled populations of healthy young men, proved the most perfect vector for the Spanish flu imaginable. Not that such a virulent plague needed our assistance to spread. It ripped through the civilian population nearly as easily. By the end of October, almost 4,000 people had died of it in Boston. Not, mind you, in Massachusetts. Not even in the greater Boston area. That number doesn't include the dead of Cambridge, or Newton, or Chelsea, or Waltham, or any of the surrounding towns. Just Boston proper. Nearly 4,000 people died in just the city of Boston in 10 weeks. Something like 10 times as many people had fallen ill with it in the first place. Multiply that across the entire state, across the entire nation. They closed the schools. They closed the theaters. They forbade people to attend funerals. They ran out of hospital beds, so they converted empty schools to hospitals. And they told the they ran out of nurses, so they told the idle teachers that if they volunteered as medics, they would continue to be paid. They set up vast, tent city, open-air hospitals just to have somewhere to put all the sick and struggling to survive. They ran out of coffins. Stories are not hard to find if you choose to seek them out, though they are perhaps harder to find than they should be. Perhaps these are stories everyone who has passed through our public, pedagogical, propagandistic complex should have ready on their tongues, if only to know it was a great and grave matter. Surely the mass death, the greatest mass death in human history, was at least as important as any damn archduke. So why isn't it recognized as such? Hypothesis. There's a faction of people, and in the US, it has been estimated to be about a third of the population, which is past-oriented. They cherish tradition quite simply because it is tradition, and they see the value in what is old, tried and tested, enduring. They tend to mistrust change and social change most of all. They are who in our society is concerned with commemoration. It is they who lower the flags and arrange the parades, they who tend the graves and erect the monuments. It is they who teach children the songs and have them sing them on the appointed days. It is they who are concerned with remembering what should not be forgot, not just as story that is told, but in ceremony that is performed. And there's a different faction, non-overlapping with the former, that is future-oriented. They are neophilic, intellectually restless, and curious. They even are given to priding themselves in overturning what is old, to make way for the new and presumed better. They admire iconoclasts, and it is, to an extent wildly disproportionate to their estimated prevalence in the population, from their ranks that our population scientists are drawn. And when I say they here, I mean we. Certainly me, and very many of you hearing this. We, future-oriented inventors and discoverers and tinkerers and hackers, we have our technology. Digital and biochemical and all the rest. The past-oriented have their technologies too. Their customs and ceremonies are social technologies. They transmit social values, ideas of what considers bad or good, forward through time to successive generations, so they are not lost to society, and society may endure. And that is what I mean when I say our society does not remember the influenza pandemic of 1918. Yes, the information is available in books and documentaries and archives and web pages, and the knowledge of scholars, but these are an inert, latent form of knowledge that has little influence on society. How should any society that befalls it, that has befallen it something like the Spanish flu, yet not commemorate it in the solemn way that such a grave and ghastly matter deserves, how would it not have anti-vaxxers? How would it fund basic research? How would it ever treat future natural disasters as things worthy of preparing for, preventing, redressing, or remediating on a societal scale? This is the gap that must be bridged. That between the future-oriented who would, who do, lay wonders of biomedical invention at the feet of society, and the past-oriented, who choose what values are propagated by commemoration of the past to future generations. Strangely, then, part of the solution is that we, in the future-oriented faction, must realize the enormous value of the past-oriented's memetic technology, stop scorning it, and must elicit their cooperation and assistance in commemorating what is important to us. What we realize is important to be remembered. And of course, another part of the solution is that we, in the future-oriented faction, must realize what it is that is important to be remembered.